So our final speaker for the first half is Glenda Gray from the South African Medical Research Council in Johannesburg, who will be sharing some hot off the press results from the phase 2B efficacy trial of Mosaic HIV-1 vaccine regimen in African women. The trial's name is Imbokodo. Thank you, Glenda.
Good day. My name is Glenda Gray. I'm the protocol chair for H15705, or the Imbokodo study. And this is a phase 2B efficacy trial of the Mosaic HIV vaccine regimen in African women. An HIV vaccine strategy is imperative for women in sub-Saharan Africa because we already know that young women between the ages of 15 and 24 account for a quarter of all new infections and are twice as more likely to be living with HIV as compared to their male counterparts. In order to find a successful HIV vaccine, we need to optimize both humoral and cellular immune responses by increasing the magnitude and breadth of the epitope coverage, which will be critical for a successful vaccine. We advanced the study because we found in a non-human primate intrarectal challenge study, a similar vaccine regimen provided a 94% pre-exposure protection. And in addition, this regimen, based on mosaic regimen antigens, has been found to elicit broad cross-clade immune responses. So this proof of concept study was conducted in women at high risk for HIV and where we evaluate the efficacy and safety of this vaccine regimen. And looking at the study design, this is a multi-centered, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled phase 2B study of a heterologous regimen of the AD26 mosaic vaccine and the clade C GP140 vaccine in Malawi, Mozambique, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Zambia. To be eligible for the study, you had to be between the ages of 18 and 35, have sexual intercourse at least twice in the last 30 days, be at high risk for HIV acquisition, and be HIV negative at baseline. Participants were randomized in a 1-to-1 ratio to receive the vaccine regimen or placebo. The woman received either vaccine or placebo of the AD26 mosaic at months 0, 3, 6, and 12. At months 6 and 12, they also received the clade C GP140 or placebo. They were followed for HIV infection for at least 2 years after enrollment until the primary analysis described here was conducted when the last participant had their month 24 visit. This study was powered to have a sample size of at least 2,600 with a 90% power to reject a null hypothesis of a vaccine efficacy measured between 7 and 24 months to be less than 0% and an assumed vaccine efficacy in the same period of 50%. The study was planned to continue past 24 months if the lower bound of the 95% confidence interval between the periods of 7 to 24 months was at least greater than 0% at the primary analysis. We offered PrEP, as well as behavioral risk reduction counseling, free condoms and lubricant, regular testing, treatment and referral for sexually transmitted infections, as well as counseling and referral for post-exposure prophylaxis, and this was provided free of charge throughout the study. As mentioned before, the primary objectives of the Imbokodo study were to evaluate the efficacy and the safety and tolerability of this heterologous vaccine regimen, and the primary endpoint was vaccine efficacy in preventing confirmed HIV diagnosis from month 7 to 24 in the per protocol population. The primary safety endpoint was the incidence of solicited local and systemic reactogenicity, adverse events, serious adverse events of special interest, and adverse events leading to early withdrawal or study discontinuation in the full analysis set. We looked at secondary endpoints as well, and this included efficacy against HIV infection from month 0 to 24, month 13 to 24, and the durability of vaccine efficacy if the study continued past the 24-month stage period and we entered into stage 2. We also conducted post-hoc exploratory analyses of vaccine efficacy by participant characteristics. If you look at the overall baseline characteristics, you can see that these were well-balanced between the two study groups. Two-thirds of our study participants were in South Africa, and just over two-thirds were aged between 21 and 30 years. Similarly, high levels of risk-associated behaviors were seen in both study groups. The risk factors were also well-balanced between the study groups. And yeah, you can see a summary of the risk factors that we deemed important for acquisition for HIV, as well as a STI rate of around 30%, and the primary STI being chlamydia. PrEP was analyzed in blood samples when available. And this slide just shows the detectable TDF levels in the vaccine as compared to placebo. And you can see that there was not major any difference between the two groups. Moving to the primary efficacy endpoint, this study showed around 206 infections in the MITT cohort, of which 46.1% occurred in the vaccine group as compared to 53.9% in the placebo group. The incidence of HIV infection per 100 person years from month 7 to 24 in the propedical cohort was 3.61 in the vaccine arm and 4.32% in the placebo arm. The estimated vaccine efficacy was found to be 25.2%, with a lower bound of minus 10.5 and an upper bound of 49.4, and this was not significant. The secondary analyses of vaccine efficacy through month 24 in the MITT and FIS cohorts also showed that the vaccine efficacy did not differ significantly from zero. Vaccine efficacy varied according to baseline characteristics, but did not differ significantly from zero in any subgroup. There was a numerical trend towards improved efficacy seen in the vaccine arm as compared to placebo in women aged 31 years and above, but the sample was too small to draw any firm conclusions. Fatal adverse events unrelated to study treatment administration occurred in 2 participants in the vaccine arm and 3 in the placebo arm. None of these serious adverse events in 3% of both study groups were related to study injections, and less than 1% of participants in each group reported unsolicited, moderate, or severe AEs. We saw no cases of TTS in this IMBACODA program and in the whole HIV prophylactic vaccine program to date. If you have a look at the solicited reactogenicity, you can see that most events were pain and tenderness, and this was common in both the vaccine and placebo groups, and they were usually mild. Headache was the most commonly reported systemic adverse event in both study groups, followed by malaise or fatigue. Severe solicited systemic reactogenicity was also reported in about 1% of participants in both treatment groups. So in conclusion, this vaccine was found not to be effective both in the primary and the secondary analysis. This vaccine also was found to have a favorable safety profile with no vaccine-related safety events. This IMBACODA still remains an important scientific finding, and in order to fulfill the pursuit of finding an effective vaccine to prevent HIV, we are doing immunological evaluations and correlates research are ongoing. We still need a biological intervention to reduce the impact of HIV in women in Africa. There is an ongoing study occurring in the Americas investigating a similar regimen called Mosaico in MSM and transgender individuals. I want to thank my study team, particularly my study co-chairs, as well as the funders of this program, the sites that participated in the study, and the study protocol team. I want to acknowledge everyone and thank you very much.